Friday morning. Welcome in. It is your overnight oasis. Gordon Damer with you, taking you all the way up to 5 a.m. and the warm-up show. Lots to do, plenty to discuss, and the number, of course, you know, 888-808-1019. You can hop on board. And I got to be honest, there's very rare situations where the first thing I'm thinking about when I wake up in the morning, and doing this shift, it was in the afternoon, but waking up, the first thing on my mind is something sports related. Usually at my age now, it's more about like what's working, what's not. Did I sleep wrong? Did I sleep in a weird position that now I'm, the rest of the day I'm going to feel like I fell down the stairs somehow? Am I here? Am I still on planet Earth? Okay, that's always good. I'm still alive. That's a positive. But very rarely do I wake up and the first thing I think about is something sports related. But yesterday was a day where the first thing that I came to my mind, even before life, death, how's my neck feeling, anything else working, was what's going on with OG Anunoby. We talked about it, obviously, on the show last night. After the Game 2 win, we were all kind of hunting for information about OG Anunoby going down with that what looked like a hamstring injury. And given his injury history, and especially with the hamstring a couple of years ago, major concerns, major worries. And we talked about it last night, how the one thing that could disrupt this Knicks group, really the biggest obstacle the Knicks, this team has, is staying healthy. We have watched playoff runs a couple of years ago kind of get derailed because of injury, and that's the great equalizer, not just for the Knicks, but any team that is expecting to go deep into the playoffs. We've watched it last year, certainly, with Tyrese Halliburton in the finals and with Jason Tatum. We saw a couple of years ago with OG Anunoby going down. The Knicks looked like they were going to take care of that Pacers series pretty easily, and then all of a sudden the injuries hit. And it was a completely different series, and the Pacers able to win in seven. So when you see OG, just when everything feels like it's going great with the Knicks, that's almost sometimes it's almost like professional wrestling. When the babyface is doing great, that's the time you got to worry about the illegal maneuver. That's when you have to worry about Mr. Fuji on the apron with the salt in the eyes, all that kind of stuff. That's the Knicks. When things are going great, that's the time to be concerned. That's the time to worry about, something's going to happen. And then when everybody's counting them out, that's the time when they respond. So to have a game two and to win a game two like the Knicks did last night to take a 2-0 series lead in this matchup against the Sixers and making the plays down the stretch, locking it down on defense in that fourth quarter where the Sixers scored 12 points. I know they had a bunch of shots they could have made, but they didn't make them. So that's on them. It's also a credit to the Knicks defense overall, and I think to Mikal Bridges, which we talked about last night, the job that he did on Tyrese Maxey. So when I woke up this morning, all my thoughts were about OG Anunoby and his hamstring. And when you got the news that it's a right hamstring strain, which, again, you don't want to play doctor on the radio, but look, we talk about a lot of things with sport as sports fans that we might not be all that well informed about, and we make guesses and suppositions and all that type of stuff. That's what it looked like. And when you got the news that it was a hamstring strain, but it seems to be a mild strain, and it's not believed to be a serious strain of the hamstring, and that he is being listed as day-to-day. And with the way that this series is kind of designed between the Knicks and Sixers, it's right now day on, day off, right? Knicks were playing last night, or now two nights ago, didn't play last night, and then are going to play again tonight. And then they're going to have Saturday off, and then they're going to be back in action for Game 4 on Sunday. So day-to-day is what you were hoping for. You were hoping it wasn't going to be week-to-week. It wasn't going to be something where he was going to be sidelined a long period of time. But it seems like over the last 24 hours, or at least from the point of when we got the news that OG was going to, you know, only has a mild strain and is day-to-day and is even questionable for Game 3, it seems like all the talk has been about, well, when do you bring him back? Do you sit him out for the rest of the series? Do you sit him out for game three? Do you bring him back game four? Do you only go and bring him back when the series is tied 2-2? Well, here's the thing, guys. The injury is not up to us. It's not up to the Knicks. It's not really even up to the doctors. It's up to OG Anunoby's hamstring. Like, his hamstring will determine when he is ready to play again. Now, I find it hard to believe that the Knicks are going to risk it. I know what they say, it's a mild strain and he's day-to-day and he'll have 24 hours to kind of rest it up by the time that the game happens later tonight, Friday night. But I find it very hard to believe, with as important as OG Anunoby is, the status of where this series is at right now, with the Knicks in control, up 2-0, and really what their goals are. It's not just simply to get through this series. It's to get through the next series. And hopefully, you know, I mean, it might be a little bit of a pipe dream if it's the Thunder that are waiting at the end of this. But look, if you get to the NBA Finals, there's not a single team in the world who's going to say, you know what, we're just satisfied getting to the finals. No, if you get to the finals, you want to win the finals. And I can tell you right now, while I think that the Knicks can win this series without OG Anunoby playing another game, maybe they can get through the Eastern Conference Finals without OG Anunoby playing a game. But if you want to have a prayer in you-know-where of winning an NBA title this year, you need OG Anunoby to be good and playing like he has played so far in these playoffs, where he has been not just a factor, not just a key factor, can make the argument he's been the biggest factor. You know, what he does offensively and defensively, he has been a major contributor. And this has been, when the Knicks made that trade, this is the ceiling of what OG Anunoby can be. To be the factor he has been on offense and to be playing the kind of defense that he is capable of, where he can pretty much match up against just about anybody on the court, is pretty impressive. So you need to have him back and you need to have him healthy, but it's not a decision for really the team to make or really the doctors to make or anything, like certainly not the fans or the media to make. You're going to have to wait and see how his hamstring responds. And look, you don't want him to be out any longer than he has to be, but you have to keep in mind the last thing you want to have is a re-aggravation of the initial injury. So I would be very surprised if he's missing, if he's playing in game three. It wouldn't be a surprise to me either if he's missing game four, because game four is on Sunday. That's still a pretty quick turnaround. And I think that the Knicks should be able to win this series, because think about what this series is. And look, as Knicks fans, we look at it as from our point of view. Look at it from the Sixers' point of view, right? Because if the Knicks aren't winning the series, well, then the Sixers have to win the series. What do the Sixers have to do to win this series? They have to win 4 of the next 5 games to win this series. Teams up 2-0 in a series, I love the numbers sometimes, win that series in a 7-game series 93% of the time. So the team down 0-2 win about 7% of the time. I couldn't find exact numbers, but how many of that 7% do you think were coming off a grueling 7-game series in the series prior, like the Celtics and the Sixers, like the Sixers did against Boston? I would think that that number, out of 429 teams that had been down 2-0, only 34 have come back from being down 2-0. Of that 34, how many do you think won a 7-game series in the series prior? Had to go down to the wire and battle back from down 3-1 in the previous series, and are banged up as much as the Sixers are with the whole Embiid injury. Also, keep in mind, it's not exactly like the Sixers can pull on some deep reservoir of playoff success. You know, a good year for the Sixers is reaching this point of the playoffs. This is about their ceiling. And it's their ceiling in years where Embiid has been healthier than he is right now. So if you're looking at the series from the Knicks' point of view, that's one thing. Take a look at it from the Sixers' point of view. Like, the amount of things that would have to go right for them to be come back in this series and win this series, it would be one of really the all-time great upsets in NBA playoff history, given where we're at right now. Knicks up 2-0, in control of the series, still with home court. and the Sixers have to go out and win four of the next five games and do so with a, I would have to guess, a severely compromised Joel Embiid. Like, if Joel Embiid is unable to play in game two because of his hip and the other ailments it seems like the dude has after the appendectomy and all this different stuff, you're telling me an extra 2 days? Like, what percentage was he in game one? Because he was a 0% in game two because he couldn't play. So after having 2 days to rest up, what percentage is he at 50%? How much of an improvement can that really make? I can't imagine it's going to be all that much. So if the Knicks are in control of this series, game three will be the most difficult game to win, for sure, because you're going on the road. You know that the NBA, they don't want these series being done in sweeps. So I'm sure the officiating will reflect that, as it kind of was already in this series, favored Philadelphia. The Sixers know the situation that they're in. They played better in game two than they did in game one. I don't know whether Embiid is going to play in game three for sure or not. The game is still hours away. Anything could happen to that dude with the amount of injuries that he has. They're not generally known as a mentally tough group to begin with, and he's not known as a mentally tough player. So the Knicks are in control of this series. So when it comes to OG Anunoby, I don't rush him back until he is as near 100% as he can be. And if the Knicks go out and win game three, well, then you have the luxury of having him sit game four. Because if you can win game three without him, I would think that at that point, the Sixers' will is going to be kind of broken, and closing out that series in a sweep will become somewhat easier. But this is not the type of thing that you can fiddle with and, oh, well, if they lose game three, we got to rush them back. The Knicks have bigger goals than just simply winning this series. Now, does it benefit them to wrap up the series as quick as possible? Yeah, that would be fantastic. But given the amount of injuries and injury problems that OG has had, and the fact that it's generally his legs and hamstrings have happened in the past, I don't think it's the type of thing that you can fiddle with. So I would not expect to see him in game three. And I would think that based on how that goes, maybe we'll see how, you know, things play out from that point. But I don't put him back on the court until I know for sure there is not going to be an aggravation or a re-aggravation of the current injury that he has. The other thing that I was thinking about when I saw that news today, when I woke up and thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And I said last night, what you were hoping for is when OG went to the dot, you were getting the George Costanza, get out of here. You know, OG, not play, get out of here. They didn't get out of here, but it's about as close as you can get to not worrying about the injury really long-term. Now, you'll worry about it until he's back and he's playing like he has. You hope it doesn't, you know, whatever time off he has, if he has any time off, all of a sudden impacts him in a way. But what I was thinking about was, you know, one thing that has always, it felt like, as a Knicks fan, has always eluded the Knicks. And it's always something that goes into championship teams, even though sometimes people don't like it because it has a negative connotation. But you go through any team that's won a championship, along the way, the breaks have to kind of go your way. You need to get a little luck on you. Now, that's not to say if you win, oh, well, you just won because you're lucky. And I think that's the way people sometimes take it. Oh, you're just saying that they got lucky. No, but you look at championship teams, teams that you've rooted for, and you've watched the entire run from start to finish. Breaks have to go your way. You can only battle so many things going against you. And it always feels like with the Knicks, over my time watching them, between back in the 90s when there were suspensions, it always felt like the Knicks got hit with suspensions more than other teams would have got hit with suspensions or injury stuff, or during the really bad years where the Knicks were out of it before the playoffs even began, and you're just sitting waiting for the lottery. Hey, maybe this is the year the lottery balls go our way. They never went our way. Spoiler alert, the lottery balls never went the Knicks' way. So maybe this is a sign, you know, like there's all these things that are kind of lining up to point to that this is the Knicks year. The way they're playing, the road to through the Eastern Conference, the fact that there's no real superstar team this year. If there is a superstar team in the East, it feels like it's the Knicks. Maybe that's just my fandom talking. But maybe for the first time in forever, maybe the luck can kind of, I mean, talk about luck. Last year in the series against the Pacers, the fact that shot went down and it went to over, the luck has never gone the Knicks' way. And it's not like they completely dodged a bullet, because it, you know, it's a possibility that OG is going to miss at least some time in this series. But given his injury history and the Knicks' general luck quotient, if that's a stat, how that generally goes, this is about as good a result as you could have hoped for, that it's not something major, that the team does not expect it to be something that is going to cost him a major amount of time like it did 2 years ago when he came back and it was clear he was only coming back because it was a game seven, it was do or die, and he wanted to, you know, kind of go out on his sword on the court, even though he really shouldn't have been out there on the court. So that's the beauty of being able to handle your business in these first two games. There is absolutely no need to rush OG Anunoby back. And now just go out and take care of business down in Philadelphia. Now, it will not be easy, as I mentioned. I think game three is going to be the hardest game to win, because the Sixers know the situation that they're in. And I'm sure if Embiid plays, he's going down swinging in the way that Joel Embiid generally does. You know, there's at least a chance that something dirty happens and it involves Joel Embiid. So if they're losing in a game three on their home court, with the building being, I would expect, pretty overwhelmingly Knicks. I mean, I've even heard that Ben Stiller, his wife does have, she does want to go antiquing this tomorrow night. So I don't know if he's going to be able to make the game or not, but it looks like maybe he makes the trip. But you know that building is going to be completely pro-Nick. So this is it for the Sixers. And look, when you're talking about a player like Joel Embiid, we don't even know if he's definitely going to play or not. I would assume he is going to at least try to give it a go, I would think, down 2-0 in the series back at home. I would guess, right? Like, if you're not playing in that game, at what point are you playing in the series again? You're going to play in game four down 3-0? It would seem unlikely. So I would expect that he is going to play. This is the Sixers' last chance. And for Embiid, with the amount of injuries that dude has had in his entire career, the state that he's in right now, it doesn't seem like, I don't know how many more years this dude has left as a high-value player. This might be his last chance to get out of the second round of the playoffs. So I would expect that he's going to go out there and give it a shot, and I would think that this is going to be the Knicks' greatest challenge so far, to go down there and get a win and not just beat the Sixers, but beat the officials in the process as well. So good news for the Knicks. Maybe they catch a break with OG Anunoby. When he's back, we will wait and see. But just another sign that things might very well be lining up perfectly for the Knicks this year to get back to an NBA Finals for the first time since 1999.